Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
Show's namesake, BJ Shea, is on assignment, and running the boards is Joey D's Wednesday. So we will be talking about the Book of Boba Fett, Episode 4. Joe will be talking about the series finale of Amazon Prime's The Expanse. Let's see how this works out.
Oh, boy.
I will also get nerdy about Quantum Leap, because guess what, guys? It's coming back! Oh, boy. And, of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcast, and more!
More!
Or just search BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app to find us!
Yeah, lots of ways to find us and talk about nerdy stuff. Or, I mean, hell, you could just listen to us and experience the joy that is my voice. And if you disagree with that, just don't tell me. That's fine. Like, I'm very sensitive, so we don't need to worry about all of that. Now, getting right into this stuff, Joe... Yes. I want to start off by maybe having you in a bad mood. Hey. I don't know how this is going to work out.
Wednesday.
Because there's a lot of times where you and your father will watch a show, and you'll kind of go back and forth on it depending on what it is and what's happening. Star Trek Discovery was kind of a roller coaster for you.
Oh, boy.
And it seems another one that was kind of in those lines was The Expanse, which you came to me and was like, I think this might be the series finale coming up, but I'm not 100%. And sure enough, it ended up being the series finale.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to this show. I mean, obviously last season we had a character leave due to things and allegations and stuff
outside of the show. So it was things that was the actor's problem, not the character, but yet the character just got...
So that was an abrupt season ending to last season. And then this season we got a six-episode series finale out of nowhere with almost no... you know, publicity towards it?
Yeah. Like, you were trying to even find out, like, online to determine whether or not this was actually the series finale.
Yeah, and, I mean, it wasn't like it was on Amazon Prime being like, this is it? You know, watch your favorite show end kind of a thing. Not that it was my favorite show, but it was definitely some people's.
Yeah.
And, of course, so I have to watch it, right? I mean, it's six episodes. This is season six, I believe. It confirmed no season seven in the works right now. So I was like, all right, this is it. We're going to wrap up all of the... storylines, because there's a lot. We got Proto Molecule. We got a bunch of wars happening between the Belters and the Free Navy and Mars. And all right, well, let's get into it. What happens? Oh, not much for the first five episodes, apparently.
Oh, no.
They start off a whole different story arc on one of the Proto Molecule planets in the rings, and they do 10-ish minutes of every first episode, for the first 10 minutes of each episode this season, with an arc that we don't know nothing about.
Oh, weird.
Which is a weird thing to do, which makes me think this might have been one of those, hey, guys, it's over, sorry we didn't tell you earlier things to the show, meaning that they didn't expect it to end with six episodes. I will do a little spoiler alert for what happens for those
people,
just so everyone
spoiler
knows,
alert.
So I don't think. But essentially what happens is everything comes to a head. The Free Navy loses. Marcos, who's been this huge bad guy the entire time, gets a very not very interesting death. He just gets vaporized off screen, not even exploded.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I guess they kind of win. The Belters get a seat on what is now the Trade Federation for the Rings, so they kind of feel important. And then, and this is going to really, I mean, all right, let me try to, like, put this in perspective for you guys. Mm-hmm. So then the main character, James Holden and Naomi, sit down in a bed, and James is like, what are we going to do about the protomolecule and the this and that and this?
And they're going to do it.
And I know, and Naomi goes, well... at least the war's over. Let's enjoy the peace while we can. And the show ends.
Oh.
So they're like, what about this thing that we've been talking about? We'll worry about that later. Let's just enjoy the ending of the series for
now. Yeah, we'll enjoy it in season seven that isn't coming.
Yeah, it's not. It's not, yeah.
And so, I don't know. It just leaves you with this kind of like, wow, this is it. They kind of wrap up some of the story, but not a whole lot of it. The characters don't really get very good payoffs. The big baddie that's been like last maybe two or three seasons... just pretty much gets an off-screen death. I mean, and in the big tie this whole season has been Naomi, who's the main character, her lover, who she has a kid with, who the kid is now fighting against her, they can't blow his ship up because she doesn't want to kill her son. So, which makes sense, right? It's like a mother thing. Like,
yeah,
you don't want, right?
Like, yeah. I just like Vicky's response.
And they spend in a lot of time with this storyline. And in the end, she kills him. Or at least she thinks she kills him.
All right, yeah.
And you're like, wow, that's sad.
Let the hate flow through you.
but then in this last scene, they're like, but you never know what actions you make or what they may do or how they may affect people. And then you see the kid take a shuttle right before the ship blows up so he lives. But she doesn't know that. And you're like, you didn't even kill him off. There's no payoff to this. No, everyone's happy. Isn't that nice? And I'm just like, oh, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, and that's the series finale of Expanse. Thanks for watching for 6 seasons.
Well, and I know we were trying to figure out, you were trying to figure out whether or not this was the series finale. It absolutely is. I even had to look up online, and I found Inverse.com had a whole thing running down it. And a lot of the times, and I mean, it might just be some spin on it, but some of the actors were like, well, we're glad we got a full story about a whole thing like that or whatever. And it says the co-author Daniel Abraham said in 2020 that season six was the ending of the series. Quote, we are adapting a story to a place where there's a graceful place to take a pause and give a satisfying ending to the story we began in season one. In more recent interviews, he's been more open to the idea that more seasons could happen, recently stating, as always, as we always say, there are 3 more books.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this was a show that was also beleaguered with the fact that it was dumped from its original provider and then went to streaming. So it started on television and then ended up finishing on Amazon Prime.
And I got to give Sci-Fi a high five because that's where it started out with. And it was
you're right. Yeah.
I believe it was the first 3 seasons, and every season after that has gone incredibly downhill, in my opinion. And like, I think it makes sense on the books too, because after book 6, where this last series finale ends, they actually take a 28-year time jump into the future.
Yeah.
And as we know, that doesn't generally go too well for shows.
Well, look at the Foundation and Joe's response to that one.
100 years? What's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Back into the cryopod. It's not going to be the wrap-up you probably want. I have seen a lot of people be happy that it did get wrapped up, because I will say it isn't like one of those shows where there isn't an ending. It does end. Mm-hmm. So... but, I mean, again, the first 3 seasons were kind of about this protomolecule and what does it matter? Why? What does it do? And there's no answer to that. And so that is the one part that, to me, I was like, your show about aliens. You're in space and there are aliens. Like, are you going to discuss that? That was kind of the major plot point of every season. But, you know, what can you do? I understand. They probably didn't think they were only going to get 6 episodes, although they probably did think the season was going to end, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, all in all, I would say watch the first 3 seasons, and you'll see the distinct, all right, this is where this plot ends, and you don't have to go any further, and it's worth a watch. The last 3 seasons, well, you cryo-freeze yourself and ship yourself off 100 years in the future. Maybe it'll get redone.
And we'll have to see. And, I mean, you can go back and watch it if you want to. There's 6 seasons all right now available on Amazon Prime. So if this is something that has intrigued you now at this point, you haven't gotten into it, here's a new show that's got tons of episodes for you to binge, and there is an ending.
That's right. There is an ending. There is an ending.
There was a show, and this show came out in the late 80s, early 90s. And this is like before or at least around when you two were born. So I don't know how much you guys know about Quantum Leap.
I do not know about Quantum Leap.
Sure, it's been referenced on Family Guy a few times.
Yeah,
is it something
probably.
Like, we'll do one more leap, might be his last one home?
Yes!
I know that much.
Okay, so what it was is, I'm going to info dump you guys on this one.
Like this one.
This is one of my most favorite shows of all time.
Whoa. Really?
Yeah, yes. And it's uber cheesy. It was on like NBC or CBS or something like that back in the day. It starred Scott Bakula as Dr. Samuel Beckett, who in the future, discovered a way to essentially time travel. But it was quantum leaping in terms of, and I think quantum is such a phrase now with everything going around with like quantum mania and
quantum
all that.
Quantum is 4.
It was also a big reference on Bob's Burgers, because they had to write stories based around Bob Bakula. What's his name?
Scott Bakula.
Scott Bakula. I almost called him Bob Bacula.
Scott Dracula. Scott Dracula, no! I'm talking about, dang it, you're going to screw me all up.
Sorry. But,
so yeah, so Scott Bacula is Sam Beckett, and he is testing out, and it's essentially the scientist testing out his own project. He ends up leaping into the body of a person in the past, in his past when he was alive. And so a lot of this takes places in like the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s and stuff like that. Mostly the 50s, 60s, and 70s because it came out in the 80s and, you know, you're trying to get historical stuff when it comes down to it. And what happens is he switches bodies Freaky Friday style with another person. And so the person ends up in the waiting room in his body and he's down there in their body. So like when you're looking at it's Scott Bakula, but when he looks in a mirror, it's a different person. So that kind of cool, fun things. And he's gone from being the biggest arc ever was him as actually Lee Harvey Oswald during the JFK assassination.
Jeez.
Gotcha. Oh, it's an epic two-parter, at least a two-parter. And going all the way down to being a chimp getting ready to be sent into space.
I want to be that chimp.
Like, it's like super, super cool, like how they're doing it. And the only reason why I'm bringing this all back is he ends up having to like figure out what good deed he needs to do in order to make sure that these people are okay, whether it be, you know, some kid that he has to deal with, like that his leap, the person he leaps into is like, oh, I'm a mentor to this child, but if I do this thing wrong, this child goes to prison or something like that. So he's got to make sure and do the correct thing. And then at that point, it'll trigger for him to leap out of there. And he's just trying to leap home, like you were talking about. And spoiler alert, through the entire series, he doesn't. And the whole series ends where he never finds his way home.
Okay.
So he's constantly leaping. Well, it looks like NBC has given a pilot order to a reboot of the series, which did star Scott Bakula and Dean Stockwell. Unfortunately, Dean Stockwell has passed since then. Scott Bakula is still around, which you may remember him from Enterprise. He was Captain Archer on Enterprise.
Oh, okay. I know
him. Yeah. And so it looks like the follow-up series will be set in the present time, 30 years since Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap Accelerator and vanished. Now a new team has been assembled to restart the project in hopes of understanding the mysteries behind the machine and the man who created it, which I was really excited for because it fits the headcanon that I wanted. I've wanted a Quantum Leap reboot for forever because of how much I've loved this. And my whole brain into it would be like, yeah, okay, so they can never get him home. After a while, they just mothball the whole thing. Like, they're not even like, they just put it away. It was a super secret thing. He wasn't supposed to do it. Science or whatever is like, well, you got to kind of hide this thing. So he's just doing his thing. Some scientist or something stumbles across it, says, oh, this is good technology. It's been, you know, 30 years later. We can do this and we can do this better. Wait a minute. There's a guy still stuck around there. Let's see if we can go find him and rescue him.
Ooh.
So that's what I'm kind of hoping what it's going to be.
Okay.
But the fact that they're going to be putting out for a pilot, I'm really, really, really hoping that they're going to make it something along those lines. And if not, I mean, I'm still going to watch it. So here's hoping that the pilot leads to more episodes and that they could pull out a full season, a full series on it. Even if it's streaming, whatever the hell, like I'll actually pay for Peacock at this point in time if they just put it on Peacock.
They've done it.
Just like with BJ with Star Trek Discovery was like, I'm doing Paramount. I will do that with Peacock if they do this. Now, moving on from that, Book of Boba Fett has hit episode 4. Episode 3 was a little bit of a lackluster episode, and 5 has dropped now, but we're talking about last week's episode, so there's no spoilers involved with that. And this one did lead up to kind of bringing the backstory and the story going on all to a front. So it's all come together at this point in time. And this last one was how Boba Fett actually ended up with Fennec Shand, which is Ming-Na Wen's character, the bounty hunter, which we saw in The Mandalorian that he's running with as well. And then also the recovery of Firespray, I think is the new name for Slave One. They've decided to rename Boba's ship. And it's a fine name. Like, I have no issue with it. It's way better than Slave One, that's for damn sure. And so just trying to get back to that and getting to where we were in The Mandalorian when we saw Boba Fett, and then obviously now at this point we don't have to rehash all of that because there's a whole series about that, and we can get into what the hell is going on in terms of Tatooine and having to deal with the Pike Syndicate, which is upcoming. I am happy and a little weirded out the fact that we've got our giant Wookiee, Black Chrysantin, is back in there. I want to just call him Santa.
Santa.
Big old Wookiee Santa. I thought it was weird how they kind of ended episode 3 where they just had him just kind of running off. And you're like, go away. And he's back. So he's doing the weird hokey pokey where he gets mad. They show off how badass he is in the casino. And then Boba's like, hey, you want to be my partner? And they're like, okay. So he's in the fold, which everyone thought he should have been anyway.
Yeah.
So that made a lot more sense, and sort of it makes it okay, because it's like you can't show a character like that and not have him in it more than just, you know, a half of an episode.
Yeah, yeah, that was very odd. And he just, I don't know, they're, things are just happening in this show. I feel like it's very discombobulated.
And that's like, it really seems, and I even tweeted it out, it seems very uneven in terms of like the quality of the episodes and even inside the episode itself. We see how Boba did end up saving Fennec, which was going to the Modders, who have been, I guess, on Tatooine for long enough dealing with all of this stuff. And it was kind of strange because it's like it doesn't necessarily know what kind of show it wants to be, what genre it wants to be, because obviously we're talking about space westerns when it comes down to this. But you're injecting some kind of weird cyberpunk-esque thing to that with the droid implants with people, and then also just having those all the way around, and like, oh yeah, we'll need to save her. Well, let's, you know, pump her full of all sorts of like droid basically organs to make this happen. And it was just, it's a little weird for me at this point in time. Like, I don't know a show that can have some action scenes and have a pretty cool Sarlacc pit scene that was gnarly and kind of still kind of cool, you know, to see it still going on, yet still feel like it's slow.
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like the scenes that feel like Star Wars are great, and the scenes that aren't Star Wars are just feel out of place. Like, I'm sitting there watching it like, what are we, a heist movie now? Or, you know, like a heist show? Like, even the scene where they're going to break in to get a ship back, they have there are too many guards. We can't do it. We'll sneak in. Okay. There's this billion-dollar door here. It's too big. Oh, don't worry. There's a small little pipe right here, literally right next to it.
If any place is going to have issue with exhaust ports, I feel like it would be something in the Star Wars universe.
I was
going to
say the same thing.
I don't even buy that, but it's like, it's just so lazy even on screen. They couldn't even place the little entrance like across from the door. It's literally right next to the door, which defeats the purpose of it.
The kitchen scene when they broke through was kind of entertaining. Like, yeah, I really loved the little rat catcher droid. I thought that guy was kind of funny and entertaining and get to it. So there's a little bit of, you know, parts of some levity, but it also feels like the writing is very stiff. The dialogue is like Lucas era dialogue.
Oh yeah, like the part where Boba Fett's like, hey, you know, you don't want to work for idiots that, like, you know, are going to make you go, you know, throw your life away for no reason. And then not like 2 minutes later, she's like, why didn't you follow the plan? You're an idiot. Why would I ever follow you? Then 2 minutes later, she's like, actually, I'm along for the ride because apparently I don't actually have any background for my character. I fell out of the sky and I have a hole in my stomach. So yeah, let's just keep going. I'm just like watching this and I'm like, man, this is odd. But then they get to the parts where he's like in his armor and he's having a fun little dialogue with the rest of the Tatooine mercenary leaders or whatever it is, the group or trade people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he has the cool, like, the monster thing come from the bottom of the thing.
The Rancor, yeah.
And I'm like, this is fine.
Like
this,
that whole negotiation scene was solid because, like, it also seems that Boba Fett obviously doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was even stated before, like, Fennec was like, did you really want to do this? Like, you don't know what, and everyone's like, you don't know what it takes to be a daimyo. Like, you just don't. And you're a bounty hunter. And he's like, well, I'll figure it out. And he's kind of figuring it out. And he's doing some things that Jabba would, like, seriously, having the Rancor come up underneath the table that they're all sitting at is like a boss move.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's going to be epic. And I feel that I'm looking at this series not more for like the rest of the episodes, not necessarily like following the story. I'm just waiting for cool scenes. Like, I want to see at the very end, like, they're preparing for war against the Pike Syndicate. So they better damn well have Boba Fett riding that Rancor at the end of this, or I'm just going to throw out this entire series. Like, they've already led to it.
Yeah.
They need that. And I feel that they need more Danny Trejo as the Rancor trainer. Like, they need all of these characters that they've shown a little bit of, but they haven't given their own full episodes to. I feel that they need to kind of flesh this out a little bit more. Have more Black Kersantan, have like more of Ming-Na as Fennec, and just dealing with that being the second in command. And just, I don't know. I just like, just do better.
Yeah, you know, it's odd. I think, you know, the Tusken Raider storyline wasn't bad just from like an overall, you know, storytelling perspective. I just don't think it worked with the show of telling Boba Fett's origin story twice.
And it was, it's the laziest of lazy writing. It was, oh, let's get these people that, you know, save him, and then, you know, he learns their ways, learns to respect them, and then let's just kill them.
Yeah, he axes them, and he doesn't even go back. It's just
He like, goes back, oh, they're dead, and then to get revenge, it's literally, like, a half a scene of him after he gets his ship back gunning down the biker gang. There was no story behind that. It was just, oh, there's a biker gang here. They killed the people that now get, you know, release me from any sort of anchor to any past, and then we're just going to move on. Like, it was lazy at best.
Yeah.
Offensive to a lot of people at worst.
Well, that's the funny part, too, about it is, like, every other character in the world is like, wow, you're part of the Tusken Raiders, huh? Well, there's a lot of them, and they're everywhere, but apparently not in the series after that episode, too.
Right? Well, and that was the thing, too, is, like, all these different tribes, and they're all these different tribes, so at that point in time, it's like, well, this doesn't mean anything, because the one tribe that befriended him doesn't exist anymore. So the other Tuskens aren't going to give a crap unless they maybe notice the fact that he made that that weapon, and that they can recognize that that's a forged weapon that Tuskens have, and maybe there's a little bit of respect there. But who knows? It might and probably won't be another storyline that they even address in anything at this point.
And individually, if you were to pick apart these things, you'd be like, oh, this seems like a good idea. But for whatever reason, the way that they all come together and then they're ignored episode to episode is just so weird. You're kind of like, what's going on? Why are we over here now? And then you're like, oh, we're back into the present. What's going on in the present? End of the show. He shoots the guy and takes over his position. I'm Daimyo now. I'm like, that was, we get 10 seconds of that plot point? This is a huge plot point.
Yeah. So we'll have to see where it comes from. I think there's only 3 episodes left, including the one that's out today, episode 5. And they are gearing towards the war. If the last 2 episodes aren't just flat out all war, I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, to be perfectly honest, I don't know where they're going to go with it. So I'm intrigued at that point. It's still Star Wars. It's still space cowboy gunslinging. So I'm still down for it. I'm still going to watch it. But also, I'm like, I'm not just going to give it a pass because it's Boba Fett.
Yeah, and can we not get any more of these like little biker CGI things running around? They're not great. Which is weird because the other bikers, the desert bikers, look great. They have no problem. But
well, because they've got speeders. The other guy's got mopeds.
They got mopeds.
Like, seriously, come on, man. They're like riding around on like electric scooters.
Like rectangles.
So that whole thing. They didn't have anything that was that god awful, like that scene in the Mos whatever town,
Mos Eisley or whatever.
No, Mos Eisley is the main one. They're in like Mos Ido or something like that. I don't even care. All I know is that a low speed chase in this teeny tiny town, when you're trying to do it with speeders and I don't know, space mopeds, it looked weird, looked crappy, and there was nothing that bad in this one. And to be perfectly honest, them doing the whole fight scene and trying to get the hell out of the palace and get the spacecraft out of there, that was kind of cool. Pretty tense towards the end, so it was still kind of worthwhile on it. There's, again, like I said, there's good parts, and there's like, what the parts.
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever. It's like, I'm still going to watch it. And if people have any way that they want to argue this with me, more than happy to. Send us an email, bjgeeknation@gmail.com. But now it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
What's going on, Vicky?
All right. Just a little consensus in the room. How do we feel about sequels?
You know, most of the time I'm okay with them because I want to see where the story is going to go. But also, I really don't have any real expectations that they're going to be better than the original or embark on something new with that same cast. A lot of the times I feel they're just going to be rehashing of the same story.
I am 100% on the train of, if it was meant to have a sequel, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not, and it's like trying to continue, I'm not in. It could be in the same world mm-hmm. with different characters, and that's fine. But for instance, Lord of the Rings, you knew that was having a second movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was a trilogy. That was a continuation of a story.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But like The Matrix, for instance, you know, I'm real iffy on, because one was kind of a complete story,
mm-hmm.
but I did end up enjoying two despite it not being as good.
And like with, especially with something very polarizing like The Matrix, because people hated the sequel when it first came out. And I was like, no, I think this is really cool. And I still stand by it. It's a good one. But again, like I said, it doesn't hold up to the first one. It's not, it doesn't, it blew my mind in some ways. Like the whole freeway scene was fantastic.
Incredible.
Like amazing. Yeah. But again, like story wise, it really didn't bring anything else really to light. And so it was just kind of a bunch of cool action scenes put together.
Another good example would be Dune. Would you consider the next Dune movie to be a sequel? Well, it's more of a two-parter.
It's a continuation. Yeah, it's a continuation. So, yeah, like at that point, like it's inferred. And so at that point, no, not really.
Okay, then I'm going to say in general, I don't think I like sequels.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah. Well, it's just tough because, you know, you never really expect a sequel if something has a two-parter, right? Because mm-hmm. it's just really just another movie.
Yeah.
It's almost like a cash grab.
My thing is, there's some movies that should never be touched. Like, should they make another Princess Bride? Like, either reboot it or a sequel? Obviously, no.
Yeah.
I mean, unless I did see a meme going out where it said the only acceptable one would be is if, was his name Cary Elwes?
Cary Elwes. Yeah.
Is the grandfather, and then every other character is played by Muppets.
Yes.
That's the only acceptable version. Or Nightmare Before Christmas, again, another movie I don't think that needs a sequel and should never have a sequel. However, Comic Book Resources came up with a list of movies that fans want to see sequels to, but probably will never get it.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
I don't think you guys will guess any on this list.
Oh, okay, cool. Let's just run down it then.
All right. The very first one they have on this list is Constantine, and that's the one with Keanu Reeves, for those who don't remember. He did say recently that he would love to play him.
And
again,
to be honest, that movie has some depth to it that I didn't realize. I love the movie. Like, hands down, I love the movie. And I've recently rewatched it in the last couple of years, mm-hmm. and I still really, really like it. But there's so many things that he does that you don't realize are amazing. Like, he's literally casting spells with like amazing artifacts that they never explain, but it's still super cool.
Yeah, that movie could be much better nowadays. I feel like the way they can use props and CGI would make a lot more sense, because I've actually rewatched that movie too on TV randomly one day. And I'm like, wow, this movie's much better than I ever would have thought it was.
Yeah.
You know, because in my head I have that same idea like, oh, this movie wasn't very good. Why did I watch it? But yeah, I saw it again. I'm like, man, Keanu, you do some good work, man.
Yeah, I think he said out of all the characters or movies and shows he's ever done, that would be the one he would love to come back to.
I would love to see that.
I always get that confused with the Devil's Advocate.
Oh, no, we don't need it. We don't need a sequel for that one. That was the De Niro one where he plays the devil. And,
yeah,
and
Charlize Theron, isn't it?
Yeah, that one, I mean, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay, but that's an older one that I don't think we need a sequel for.
When I saw pictures of Constantine, I'm like, I've seen Constantine. I'm like, wait. Where's Charlize? Because I remember she was nude at one point in the movie, and I was like, oh, wait.
Nude, you say?
Yeah, there's
I think.
And
yes.
Yeah, Tilda Swinton plays the Archangel Gabriel in Constantine.
That's right.
And just an amazing, amazing role with that. And even the actor, who I don't know his name, but he kind of reminds me a little bit of Marlon Brando playing Satan, was real. Like, he just absolutely stole the scene at
Peter
the end.
Peter Stormare?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, good call.
Well, I'm reading it right here, so don't give me too much credit. I think we all agree that, mostly because I would love more Keanu in our lives.
You know what? Yeah. And as long as, I mean, like, I as much as I love The Matrix, and we just talked about that, like, I don't think we need a fifth Matrix now. I think we're kind of cool on that. Like, I think that boat has sailed at that point in time. And I know they're going to make, like, a billion John Wicks at this point, but seeing him in a familiar but different from all the other familiar roles of Keanu, I think would be kind of cool.
Next one's not really nerdy, but it is the writer and director of Iron Man 3, Shane Black, had the power to make any film he wanted. He chose to make what this article is saying the most criminally underrated movie in the past 20 years.
Okay. Let me see if it is. Is it Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
Nope.
Oh.
20 years. That's
within the past 20 years.
20 years. Dang, because that was like in the 90s.
Well,
so.
Okay, so it is a buddy movie. I'll say that.
Tropic Thunder?
No.
Oh. I don't know.
It is. You got to guess?
I can't remember the name of the game. That movie, I didn't want to guess.
Can you guess the actors?
It's got Will Ferrell and, what's his face?
You're killing me here, man.
He only is Bostonian. Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, the other guys?
Good. The other guys. That is, yeah.
Close. Oof. But it's not them. It's called The Nice Guys. And this is the one with Russell Crowe and Ryan... I almost said Seacrest.
Oh, no.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. And it's, oh, yes, I remember that.
Yes, I never saw this movie, but it's like that buddy cop film of the 70s kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, if given the chance, this film could have been a lethal weapon for a new generation. It says all fans want to watch another 2 hours of these friends solving crimes. Did you guys end up seeing this movie?
I did not see that one, no.
All right, if you guys did see it, please send us a message and let us know if you agree with that.
Totally.
This movie I did see, I didn't really know how I felt about it, especially because I was not expecting the ending, and it looked like we were supposed to get a second movie, and I think they've said no.
Oh, which one?
Alita Battle Angel.
Yes.
Did you guys see that?
Absolutely saw it in the theaters, and as a person who loved the original anime, I thought it was really good. The CGI was super solid,
It was weird to see Christoph Waltz not be the bad guy.
Right. I know. He played the creator of Alita, who is a cyborg, and it gets into just some crazy, like, Neo-Tokyo anime fight stuff. But it's live action. Super, super, super CGI.
Robert Rodriguez directed it.
But at the end of it, they did show Edward Norton as, like, this, like, the bad guy who lived in the
clouds.
Yeah, the floating city above.
Basically, like, all the poorer people and such lived like on Earth or on the planet, and everyone else who was of higher status lived above.
Think a lot about what Altered Carbon was when they had that.
Yeah,
like Altered Carbon really cribbed from Alita on that aspect of it.
I mean, I think this was, it says it was prior to the 20th Century Fox merger with Disney. There was plans for several more films. And this actually came out in 2019. I feel like it's been longer than that.
Yeah.
But as they have yet made an official announcement as to what they're going to be doing with it. So we'll see if they ever end up doing something. But I believe it was one of those that cost a lot of money.
It really looked like that, especially when you're putting that much CG into it. And so I don't think it set the world on fire in terms of actually people going to see it. So maybe not like U.S. domestically, but the fact that maybe it just got kind of killed in the merger, you probably won't see anything from it.
This movie, Joe might have seen it. I don't think you have, Rev, but it's one of those movies that came like a straight to TV movie that was actually good. And I actually really liked it. Was it cheesy? Hell yes, it was. Was it good? It was fun. Yes. It is called Sky High.
I do know of this movie, yes.
So it's got Kurt Russell. It's got Kelly Preston. I totally forgot it had Kevin Heffernan from the Broken Lizard group.
Really?
I totally forgot he was the bus driver.
Oh, funny.
Danielle Panabaker. I believe she was also in The Flash and all those movies.
Wasn't there a Scott Pilgrim actor in it as well?
I think it was the gal.
Yeah, like the big baddie at the end of it.
I thought that was the girlfriend. Oh, what's her face?
Oh, it's killing me.
I definitely have seen this movie.
What did you think of it?
I can't even remember the plot, to be honest with you.
All I remember it took place, Sky High was a superhero high school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know Kurt Russell was like one of the big like Superman-y type guys that was, I don't know if he was like even like a principal or something, maybe just a parent. Like, I'm very vague on it, but I do remember, I remember it being a superhero movie, so I was interested in watching not a whole lot of it and being like, this isn't for me.
It's Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah, that's right. Ramona Flowers.
Yes, I think that was like the love interest, yes. But then he goes into like, he ends up falling for his best friend kind of situation.
Rude.
But it was her best friend. The premise of it, though, is You got set in an era where superheroes are commonly known and accepted. Young William Stronghold, the son of the Commander and Jetstream, tries to find balance between being a normal teenager and an extraordinary being. So I think he discovers his powers. And when you discover your powers, you are allowed to go to Sky High, which is where all the superhero kids go. And you kind of get put into one of two categories depending on your superpowers. You're either the hero or the sidekick.
Oh, geez.
And so the sidekicks are all the kids with the quote unquote lame powers. And one of them being like his friend, which ends up having like poison ivy powers and ends up being like super powerful at the end. But she was always a sidekick because she was quiet, like that kind of crap.
Oh.
But I really like that movie. And I'm like, if they decided to do one where he becomes like the adult now, I'm like, okay, I don't hate that. We do have one more on this that I did want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Another, let's just say MCU. See if you guys can guess.
MCU that deserves a sequel that hasn't gotten one. And I'm assuming that we've, oh, man.
This is going to be tough, but you're going to be like, oh, crap, of course, when I tell you.
Oh.
So just run down the list of characters,
the main characters.
Thor has had multiple movies.
Yeah.
Iron Man's had multiple movies.
Yeah, Hulk has had multiple movies.
So
are you saying another Hulk sequel?
Yes.
Because Hulk has had multiple movies. It's been different actors.
No. So the first one was not in the MCU, the one with Eric Bana. So technically that's not in the MCU.
Okay.
So the new one, The Incredible Hulk, the one with Ed Norton, that's technically still his storyline. They just changed the actor. They only had one of those.
Oh, because Thor Ragnarok, while it has Hulk in it, is a Thor movie.
Yes.
Duh. And that's what I was thinking, too. I was like, we've seen Hulk in a lot of stuff, but no, it's been like in Avengers or it's... Wow.
So, I mean, we don't need to see Mark Ruffalo go back and do his origin story because technically we got it
with Ed Norton
and we don't care. To see some... I don't think we need a sequel, to be honest, of this. I am all here for seeing a lot more of him in She-Hulk.
Yeah, and we're going to be getting that, so I think we're okay with that. And I mean, hell, even Tim Roth's Abomination is coming back for She-Hulk as well. This is interesting.
Do you guys think it needs another movie?
No, I think this is going to be the one that we've got. Mm-hmm. Like, I think She-Hulk will be a good successor to it.
And just seeing him in, like, even Thor Ragnarok, there's some characters that don't really need to be... like their own standalone series.
Yeah. I feel like Hulk has been a really good supporting character.
Yes.
And I mean, we got a really good aspect of him in Thor Ragnarok so much I thought it was his own movie. but at this point in time, She-Hulk is the good one for me, and he's a great supporting character.
I agree.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.